Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all, too? Only Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tapes, high-performance acrylic adhesive, sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape.
Hey, everyone. I'm Sylvia. I'm 18 years old. My life was going great until suddenly it all turned upside down. Love, drama, revenge, betrayal, happiness, and a miracle. My story has it all. Okay, I'm going to dive right into it. I have so much fascinating stuff to tell you about. 2 years ago, we found out that my brother Kevin had leukemia, which is cancer of the blood. At first, we were devastated, but we quickly composed ourselves and decided to fight the disease together as a family. While my parents were focused on his treatment, I was busy making sure his spirits were high. I decided to spend all my time with him until he recovered. We began his treatment right away. Thankfully, he was diagnosed early, so his chances of recovery were high. But he was going to have to go through chemotherapy, which has really serious side effects. First came the nausea, so he lost his appetite and started losing weight really quickly. Soon after that, he lost all of his hair. He was going through a really tough time, and there was nothing I could do for him. It was 11 months into his treatment. One day, Kevin's doctor wanted to speak with us. The cancer is advancing despite the chemo. We need to start a new treatment, he said. Kevin needed a stem cell transplant. We needed a donor that matched Kevin's bone marrow. There is a 20 to 25% chance for siblings to be a match. They were going to get samples from my parents too, but they were less likely to be a match. So I was our biggest hope. I prayed all night that I would turn out to be a match. The next morning, we went to the hospital to get the tests done. They took 3 units of blood from me, my mom, and my dad. The results were going to come in a week, which meant that I'd have a whole week to pray for it. The next week, the doctor called us to the hospital and gave us the bad news. It turned out that none of us was a match. We were devastated once again. As the doctor was speaking, I noticed the results on his desk. I looked at them and found an unbelievable mistake. I got so excited and showed the doctor right away. There is a mistake here. This isn't my result. Look, both my parents' blood type is O positive. But it says that mine is AB negative. This is impossible. If both parents' blood is type O, then the child's blood has to be type O as well. This means this report isn't mine. The doctor looked away. I was so confused. I turned to my dad. Dad, we studied this in biology class. This result can't be mine. I could still be a match for Kevin, I insisted. But the doctor interrupted me. Sylvia, the results are correct. Kevin's blood type is O positive, as it should be. But yours? He couldn't finish his sentence. Because of this weird coincide, we found out that I wasn't my parents' biological daughter. They were as shocked as I was. The whole week, we all couldn't wait to get the results of the test, which means that they also thought that I was their biological daughter. This left us with only one possibility. The day I was born, someone had made a huge mistake and I was switched with another baby. My parents' child grew up with another family, and they thought I was their daughter, but they brought up someone else's baby. The blood type was pretty definitive, but we still did a DNA test. That confirmed it, but I couldn't care less about my own situation. I was just so worried about my brother. I wished I were his biological sister so that I could have saved his life. My parents wanted to talk to me that night. My mom said, "We love you so much. You are our daughter no matter what. But we want to investigate this further, because if we manage to find Kevin's biological sister, she might be a match." They were right. "I love you so much too, and I'm prepared to do anything for Kevin to get better," I said. We were really lucky because it turned out there were only 5 other babies born in the same hospital that day. 3 of them were boys and 2 were girls. Since I was one of the 2 girls, then the other had to be my parents' real daughter. We got the other family's address. I got really nervous on our way there. I hadn't thought about it until that moment, but I was about to meet my real parents. I might even have to live with them in the future. Even though they are my real parents, the idea of living with people I don't know was too scary for me. We got to the address and saw an old, dilapidated building. As my dad rang the doorbell, my legs were shaking because I was so nervous. I held onto the wall so that I wouldn't fall. Nobody answered, so we knocked on the neighbor's door. An old woman answered. We told her who we were looking for. She had financial problems after her husband died, so she and her daughter had to move in with her mother, she said. Her mother lived in another part of the country, but we were determined to get there somehow. We learned that my biological mother was a cleaner at a real estate agency. The company gave us her phone number. We sat down at a cafe and my dad called her. He told her who he was and described the situation. He added, "It's not right to talk about this on the phone. Could we meet in person? We can all come to visit you." He was in tears as he hung up. "She's expecting us tomorrow." She sounded really sad. "Sylvia, we need to hold the hospital accountable for what they're putting us through," he said. When we got home, Mom said, "You'll go with your dad. I need to stay with Kevin." The next morning, we got on the first flight to their city. We were sure that this time the door was going to be answered, and it was. My biological mother and I looked so much alike that it felt like I was looking in the mirror and seeing myself 20 to 25 years later. We both started crying at the same time. She hugged me and started kissing me. I do the same thing, hug and kiss, so now I know where that comes from. We went inside. My dad was so nervous he kept looking around. He and my real mom and I looked at each other. "Isn't your daughter home?" he asked. "She is, but she is very anxious. She doesn't know what to do." "Let me go see if she wants to come out," she said. She came back with her daughter a few minutes later. I'll never forget the shocked expression on my dad's face. He was spellbound. My dad had lost his mom at a very young age. Apparently, his real daughter looked a lot like his mom. He hugged her and started crying. Then he called me over and hugged both of us. We all started sobbing. I suddenly had a sister now. Her name was Jenny. When she smiled, she had dimples just like my mom, meaning her biological mother. The next day, we came back home with my new sister. My mom got so excited when she saw Jenny. She even fainted for a moment. But it was all good afterwards. We had the first happy night at home since Kevin's illness. The next day, we took Jenny to the hospital. She had her blood tested to see if she was a match for Kevin. We had to wait a week again. Jenny and I had so much in common that we barely noticed that a week went by. The big day finally came. We were supposed to go to the hospital the next morning. This could be Kevin's last chance, so we were all very anxious. Jenny's face broke out in pimples because of the stress. My dad's phone rang around 9 that night. It was Kevin's doctor. He had the results and didn't want us to wait until the morning. Jenny was a match. We were all so happy, but I think Jenny was the happiest. After 17 years, she found out she had a brother, and now she was going to save his life. No time was wasted to start the stem cell treatment. First, they got the cells from Jenny with a simple procedure. After a week of preparations, the cells were transferred to Kevin. We had to wait for 20 days to see how Kevin's immune system would respond. Thankfully, he didn't have any issues. Everything had gone as it should have. Kevin is doing much better now. He only needs to get checked once in a while. Our terrible days are behind us, thanks to Jenny. Even though my biological mother was really sad, she let Jenny move in with us. We talk on the phone all the time. She always asks a ton of questions about me. She's going to visit us next month. Jenny and I are planning to stay with her for a while in the summer. My dad got a lawyer to represent both of my moms in a lawsuit against the hospital. At the end, the hospital agreed to pay a large compensation to both of them to settle the lawsuit. This solved my biological mom's financial problems. My mom decided to use the money for the university tuition of her 3 kids. I said earlier that the story involved love and revenge as well. I left the best for last. Are you ready? It was not an accident that Jenny and I got switched. Yes, you heard right. It was on purpose. It was a nurse who did this to us. The prosecutor found it really weird that there was a mix-up, even though there were only two girls born that day. So they questioned the two nurses at the delivery room and got to the bottom of it. One of the nurses had dated my biological father years earlier. One night, she was drunk and cheated on my dad. When he found out, he left her. But she was still in love with him. She tried to patch things up, but he wasn't interested. She was surprised to see my dad at the hospital years later, so she made up this evil revenge plan to get back at him. Well, you know the rest of the story. She switched my dad's biological child, which is me, with another baby, which is Jenny. She stood trial after she confessed to this terrible thing and was given 11 years in prison. She changed the lives of 6 people, and that's if we only count the parents and the kids. So I think this is a lenient sentence. And don't think that this stuff only happens in movies. If you like stories like this, subscribe to this channel. Hey everyone, my name is Annie. I'm 15 years old. About 3 years ago, I found out that my mom was not actually my mother. Turns out she kidnapped me from the hospital. My life was turned upside down. They wanted to change my name. I can't get used to my new family. I'm so unhappy and I have no one to talk to about these things. Let me tell you everything from the beginning. To make sure that you don't get confused about who's who, I'll refer to the woman who brought me up as my fake mom. The woman who gave birth to me and who I'm living with now, I'll call my real mom. I was 12 when I learned this terrible truth about my life. I was in school and I was called to the principal's office. There was a policeman and 2 women waiting for me there. One of them was a psychologist and the other was a social worker. Apparently, you need a psychologist there when telling kids about stuff like this. The social worker was going to take care of me until I was taken to my new family. They told me about what happened very simply. The people who brought me up weren't my real family. The woman who I thought was my mom had stolen me from my real mom. I was going to be taken to my real family as soon as possible, and I was going to live with them from now on. My whole life changed at that moment. My real family lived in another city. A few days later, the social worker took me to meet my new family. I went from being a single child to having a brother. My real mom is a cashier at a convenience store. She couldn't get time off work, so we met her at the store. She started crying when she saw me. My real dad is a construction worker. He's often out of town for work. I met him when he came home for the weekend. But they were complete strangers to me. When the truth came out, my fake mom was taken into custody at work. My fake dad was picked up from home and taken to the police station. After the initial interrogation, my fake mom was arrested and taken to jail. My fake dad was released because he thought that I was his real daughter. So you see, my fake mom tricked him too. Here's the most exciting part. I'll tell you about how I got kidnapped. My fake mom had to confess to everything and describe every detail of how she kidnapped me during her trial. 15 years ago, my real mom felt labor pains when she was getting ready to go to work. They didn't have a lot of money back then, just like now. So she had to go to work even when she was 9 months pregnant. When she got to the hospital, they said it was too early to take her into the delivery room, but they didn't send her home either. They made her wait in her room until her contractions became regular. A while later, a nurse came into her room. After a short conversation, the nurse asked my real mom where the father is. "My husband is working in another city. He'll probably come tomorrow," she said. You guessed it right. That woman wasn't really a nurse. She was my fake mom, dressed as a nurse on the hunt for a baby. In court, she explained that she stole the nurse's uniform from the hospital's laundry room. She had short hair back then, but she wore a wig to disguise herself. Since it was a large hospital, it was easy for her to walk around pretending to be a nurse. She approached pregnant women to figure out whether or not they were alone. They took my real mom to the delivery room shortly after. I was born 20 minutes after 12. Then they brought my real mom back to the same room. Once she had rested, they brought the baby, meaning me, into the room to be nursed for the first time. A nurse who was an expert on breastfeeding gave my real mom a quick intro, then left my mom alone with me. Half an hour later, my fake mom came into the room still wearing her nurse outfit. she asked my real mom if she had breastfed the baby. My real mom said she did as much as she could. I had an identification bracelet on my wrist. My fake mom said, the baby will get her first vaccinations. In the meantime, why don't you get some sleep? She didn't want my real mom to get suspicious. What will you name her? The bracelet only has your name on it. Let's put the baby's name on the bracelet too, said my fake mom. My real mom said they were going to name me Crystal. My fake mom took me and left. She had stashed a large bag in the bathroom nearby. She went straight there and put me inside the bag, threw away the nurse's uniform and the wig, and just walked out of the hospital through the front door. I started crying and screaming. She thought she'd attract attention if she took a taxi or a bus, so she walked all the way home, which took about 5 or 6 hours. So why did my fake mom do something like this? Even though it doesn't excuse it, there is a tragic story behind what she did. My fake mom and my fake dad weren't getting along at the time. My fake dad wanted a divorce. My fake mom got pregnant, even though she didn't want to, just to save her marriage. She thought her husband would not leave her alone with a baby. As it turned out, he still left her. However, because of the pregnancy, he didn't file for divorce. So she got excited, thinking, when the baby is born and he sees it and holds it, he'll melt and come back home. So she went to the hospital the moment she felt contractions, but the doctor said that the baby was no longer alive. She was devastated because she felt that she not only lost her baby, but also her husband. In that state of mind, she came up with the devious plan to steal someone else's baby and make it her own. She knew she couldn't do it at the same hospital because it was too small. After a while, she started visiting the city's largest hospital, which is where she stole me from. After she brought me home, she waited a few days before telling anyone. Finally, she told her mom, my fake grandmother, and then her husband, my fake father, that she gave birth. Obviously, nobody thought that I could have been a stolen baby. When my fake dad saw me, he fell in love with me right away, and he moved back home and got back together with my fake mom the next day. I'm sure many of you are really curious. Even though I have mixed feelings, I still love both of them. They are the ones who brought me up, gave me the best of everything, and made me feel loved all the time. My fake mom is a public relations director, and my fake dad is a software engineer. We were doing really well financially. We had a beautiful home, and I went to a really good private school. But more importantly, we were a happy family. We have such wonderful memories together. Both my fake dad and my fake mom are amazing people. I miss them and our old days so much. My real mom is not to blame, of course. Somebody stole her baby and she had to live with that pain all these years. But even if she is my real mom, she is still a total stranger to me. I try to be nice to her, but I can't say that we're getting along very well. Once we started living together, she started calling me by the name she had given me. Good morning, Crystal. How are you, Crystal? What would you like to eat, Crystal? At first, I didn't say anything, but my name is Annie. I love my name, and I definitely do not want to change it. Finally, I had to tell her that. I understand you, but I don't think I can get used to another name, I said. She was really sad. I don't want to call you by the name a kidnapper gave you. What are we going to do? She asked. She was right. This was just another problem with no solution. We've been living together for 3 years now. My brother and my real dad call me Annie, but my real mom can only call me dear or sweetheart. She avoids saying my name. I feel like my new family and I come from different worlds. We are so different that when I got to know them, I began to think that there's no way I could be their child. But they had done a DNA test for the court, which proved that they are actually my real parents. Hold on, I don't think I told you how this all came out. That part of the story is also a bit tragic. It was my fake mom's own mother who told the truth to the police. My fake mom and her mother never got along. Honestly, I don't really like her because she has always been sneaky. One day, when I was a baby, she came to visit and came across the identification bracelet from the hospital. It had my real mom's name on it, so she got suspicious but didn't say anything at the time. She went to the hospital and did some research to find out what had happened. That's how she learned that my fake mom had lost her baby. She is so evil that she kept this to herself all this time, but used it against my fake mom years later. My fake grandmother had been living in a nursing home for some time, and she wasn't happy about it. When my fake mom went to visit her, she said she hated it there and told her that she wanted to live with her. But my fake mom said no. They had a huge fight, and my fake grandmother called the police and told them everything to get revenge. Right now, I'm not allowed to see my fake family. I mean, my fake mom is in prison and she'll be there for another 4 years. She may not be my biological mom. She may have stolen me, but she's the one who brought me up. I told you, I miss her a lot, and I'm sure she misses me too. I'm so confused. I don't feel anything towards my real mom and dad. I feel bad saying this, but I feel like I had a better family and lived a nicer life thanks to my fake mom. I wish the truth never came out. I wish I could go back to how things used to be. But there is nothing I can do. I have to focus on my future. I'm waiting until I turn 18. I'm going to leave my real family as soon as I can. I want to live with my fake mom when she gets out of jail, no matter what it takes. I won't accept anything else. I've been referring to her as my fake mom, but I don't feel like that at all. To me, she is my real mom, and I'm her one and only daughter. Thank you so much for listening to my story.
Hi. What I'm about to tell you took place in New York. Once you've heard the whole story, I'm sure you will want to share it with someone. Because it's interesting in so many ways. You will definitely be blown away by the ending, too. Our story begins when 19-year-old Bobby arrives at the college where he is going to study. It was his first day at the school. Naturally, he didn't know anyone. It was his first time away from his family. He was excited and a little nervous. He was going to stay at a dorm on campus. He wanted to go and settle into his room right away. As he was walking towards the dormitory, carrying his suitcase, strange things started happening. Other students were greeting him, saying, "Hi, what's up? How was your summer? Nice to see you again." They all seemed to know him. Even though people were acting like his friends, it was Bobby's first time seeing them. It felt almost like a hidden camera prank. Finally, he arrived at his dorm building. When he walked in, someone shouted, "Welcome back, Eddie." "Eddie? Who is that?" When someone else said, "Hi, Eddie," he couldn't take it anymore. "My name is not Eddie," he snapped. The person smiled back, saying, "You're so funny, Eddie." Bobby found his room. He began unpacking his suitcase. There was a knock on the door. When he opened it, there was a guy around his age. While Bobby was waiting for him to say something, the guy's eyes widened. He was speechless for a while. Then he asked, "Were you born on July 12th? When Bobby said, "Yes." The guy said, "Are you adopted?" Bobby said, "Yes," again. And the student said, "You won't believe this, but you have a twin. His name is Eddie. I'm Eddie's best friend. You look a lot like him, but I knew you were not Eddie," he said. This is how Bobby found out that he had a twin named Eddie, whom he knew nothing about until then. Without wasting time, he got in the car with Eddie's friend, and they drove to the city where Eddie lived. When they got to the house, Bobby knocked on the door. A moment later, someone who looked just like him opened the door. It was Eddie. They were both very surprised. They felt as if they were looking in the mirror. Of course, it was natural for them to be so surprised. If you had grown up with a twin, it wouldn't be as shocking to see someone who looked just like you. But they didn't know they had a twin until they were 19, and only met then. This was in the days before the internet. There were newspapers, TV, and radio. When a newspaper heard about this, they sent a reporter right away. The reporter wrote about Bobby and Eddie, who just found out that they were twins. A photographer took photos of them. When the story ran, everyone was talking about it. But that wasn't the end of it. There was another twist to the story. Elsewhere in the country, a mom came running to her son's room. She tried to wake him up. David, get up. You need to see this. She was screaming and showing him the newspaper she was holding. David finally got himself up. He took the paper from his mom and read the headline. Twins separated at birth reunite after 19 years. He looked at the photo in the story. When he realized the two people in the photo looked exactly like him, he jumped up from his bed. When he calmed down, he called the paper, told them about his situation, and asked for a phone number where he could reach the twins. Of course, the people at the paper were surprised too. They gave him Eddie's phone number. David called the number. Eddie's mother picked up. "They are not twins. They are triplets, and I'm their brother," he said. She was so shocked that she dropped the phone. The triplets organized a get-together right away. Even though they had just met, they immediately felt as if they had grown up together. Thanks to their special connection, they never felt like strangers. Everyone was interested in their incredible story. They were interviewed on different TV shows. They were getting famous. Now everyone in the country knew of the triplets that were reunited when they were 19. But how were they separated in the first place? First of all three of them were adopted. A private adoption agency in New York gave them to three different families. These couples didn't know the child they adopted was a triplet. The agency had kept this fact from them. After learning this, the adopted families got together and went to visit the adoption agency. They had a meeting with the management. Their first question was, "Why didn't you tell us these kids were triplets?" It was impossible to find a family that would accept all three babies. "That's why we had to separate them," they explained. All three families said, "If you had told us, we would have taken them. We would not have separated them." They weren't satisfied with the agency's explanation. They left the agency angry and frustrated. One of the fathers realized he forgot his umbrella there. He went back to pick it up. He saw something strange when he went back into the meeting room. He had saw the people they had met with opening a bottle of champagne and clinking their glasses. The managers of the agency were celebrating. He picked up his umbrella and left. He described what he had seen to the other parents. Of course, they were shocked. They couldn't understand what they were celebrating after such a tense meeting. Years later, they would learn that the agency had lied to them that day. There was another reason why they hid the fact that the boys were triplets. They were celebrating the fact that they had managed to keep that reason a secret. So, what was the real reason? You will soon find out. At the time, the triplets were enjoying being reunited after so many years. They moved in together. Every day they were seeing how much they resembled each other. For example, they found out that they liked the same type of clothes, same food, same colors, and even the same brands. The funniest part was they were completing each other's sentences. So even though they had grown up in three different households, they were still very similar. The brothers kept appearing on TV shows as guests. That made them even more famous. People on the street were telling them, "Why don't you guys make a movie? We want to see you on the big screen." The brothers figured out that it was time to monetize their newfound fame and opened a huge restaurant they named Triplets. People filled the restaurant to see the famous triplets. The business was really good. They made over $1 million at the end of their first year. Meanwhile, a journalist had uncovered something big. A child psychiatrist had launched a secret study years earlier. For this project, he had made an agreement with a private adoption agency. The agency would separate twins and give them to families of different socioeconomic status. Because the goal of the study was to determine how different they would grow up to be if they were raised in different families. The worst part was, they were hiding from the adopting family the fact that their baby had a twin. You see what happened, right? The mother of the triplets brought her babies to this adoption agency. The agency gave the triplets to three families of different status as part of this secret study. To understand this further, let's take a look at Bobby, Eddie, and David's families. Bobby's dad was a doctor, and his mom was a lawyer. They were a well-educated couple. They earned a lot of money. They lived in an expensive neighborhood. Eddie's father was a school teacher. They weren't rich or poor. It was a middle-class family. They led a lifestyle befitting their income. And finally, David's family was working class. They were immigrants. They were the least educated among the parents. They ran a small grocery store and had a hard time making ends meet. Thus, we can clearly see that one of the triplets was given to a family with a higher level of income and education, another one to a middle-class family, and the third one was given to a lower-income family with a lower level of education. It was also discovered that the people conducting this secret study paid regular visits to the children. They ran intelligence and personality tests that lasted for hours. They observed them in their daily lives and took notes. For example, to see if there were any differences in their hand-eye coordination, they filmed the children playing Frisbee. These home visits lasted until the kids were about 9 to 10 years old. Then suddenly they stopped. So why weren't the families suspicious of these visits? These are routine tests that we conduct on every adopted child. We need to keep track of these kids as an agency, they were told. Which was not true. As we know now, the tests were being done for the secret study. The journalist who uncovered this horrible truth also found the psychiatrist behind the study. He learned that the study continued for about 10 years and then was stopped. The results hadn't been shared with the public since it was assumed it would elicit a negative reaction. We know that all of the records related to this case remain sealed in the Yale University archives. The journalist also traced the children in the study and visited those he could find. Of course, they were all grown up. He saw that the twins separated at birth were struggling with chronic depression at later stages of their lives, including the triplets. They were having really serious mental health issues. Tragically, one of them, Eddie, died when he was only 33 years old.